You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of CROI 2009, the 16th Conference on Retroviruses and Opportunistic Infections. The conference took place in Montreal, Canada, from February 8th through February 11th, 2009.
Welcome. This is Bonnie Goldman, Editorial Director of The Body Pro. Right now, I'm in the poster session where researchers are standing in front of their posters. There's nothing like hearing the results of research directly from those who have actually conducted the research. It is these women and men who are transforming HIV treatment and care. In this podcast, the researchers will introduce themselves and then summarize their study. After their summary, I'll ask a few questions.
My name is Mabel Rice from the University of Kansas, and the title of our poster is Language Impairment in 7 to 16-year-old perinatally HIV-infected children. And this is a study that's taking a look at the broader set of issues have to do with an acronym that's known as HAND, HIV-associated neurocognitive disorders. And in particular, we're interested in children's language acquisition because it's a part of cortical functioning that can be affected where the language is affected only, or broader cognitive processes are affected that in turn drive the language impairment. So there's two things we have that's unusual for this kind of work. One of them is that we have direct assessment of hearing, and we know that some of the children that were identified as being language impaired are children who have a hearing deficit, which is very important. Mitochondrial RNA is related to hearing risk, the risk of hearing impairments with these kids, so we're able to document that. We're also able to document that there's a greater than expected risk for language impairment. These youngsters are trailing their typically developing peers in language acquisition by a considerable extent. So we looked at children who scored in the bottom percentile roughly on an omnibus language measure, and then we looked to see the extent that they had other cognitive problems.
What number of children were you looking at?
We have 178. These are children that are perinatally exposed, and they are positive to HIV. And out of those 178, it's about 33% of them that score low on language assessments. And when you subdivide that, about two-thirds of those are youngsters who have cognitive impairment as well. So there's a higher risk than we would expect for children to be delayed in language acquisition, even if they're not cognitively impaired. But then we took a look at disease indicators and found that those who were cognitively impaired as well were more likely to have these disease indicators, being kids that had a CDC Class C event at entry into the study, or kids who had a higher viral load, or kids who had a lower percentage of CD4 cells available to fight the disease. So the import of all of this is that the kids that are more at risk for the disease indicators are kids that have more pervasive, higher cognitive risk as well. And we have to keep our eye on these kids who are just language impaired, because one of the predictors there was protease inhibitor treatment at some time as well.
Not any particular PI?
No, this is lumping across different PIs.
Mm-hmm. And what was the racial breakdown of the children?
It's about 73% of African-American kids, although we have done the more detailed analysis of race as a risk indicator. And these analyses indicate that risk is significant when we look at secondary language impairment versus no impairment. That is, the more severe, more extensive cognitive impairment plus language impairment is where that predictor variable becomes significant. But we do have follow-up analyses planned on that. And we have a follow-up group coming along right behind this group, and that is the children who are HIV negative, even though they were also perinatally exposed. So we'll be able to compare that group with the HIV positive out of perinatal exposure to help sort through some of these other predictor variables as well.
What about, were these children compared to HIV negative children who had no exposure to HIV at all?
No. We made the case to the funding source that we should do that, but they made the case back that they didn't have the money.
So how is this correlated with viral load and with CD4 count?
Well, the predictor is quite strong for the secondary impairment, so the risks are about, with a p-level about 0.07 there for the secondary versus no impairment. It makes quite a difference, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure. This is my first time at this meeting. My major line of work is with kids with language impairment who are not carrying any other known disease state. So this is a natural compliment. I've really enjoyed it. It's been a real thrill.
Okay, thanks.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from CROI 2009. For more coverage of this conference, visit us online at thebodypro.com/CROI2009.